time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Again, good morning to all of you, and welcome to, what is it, Friday? It is Friday already. Wow. And we're getting close to New Year's Eve, and the big glass ball in Times Square. And it's a little different this year, isn't it? Can you tell me what company makes the glass? It's one of those high-class glass companies, and I think they make the stuff every year. But anyhow, that is big time. To see the ball come down, starting in 60 seconds, and it's the bottom and oh. Now here, I don't know if you know it or not, but if you go into Times Square webcam, you'll see a lot of the behind-the-scenes operation. There's a webcam that just points down at the two stages in Times Square. And it's really interesting to see occasionally, if it's raining, you know, to see them try to duck out of the rain or put up with the rain somehow. Really fascinating. It's Times Square webcam, but and there's several different ones. And quite interesting, I might say. 10:16's the time, and what have I got to give away today? Well, the usual. I got a couple of coffee cups, and a bottle insulator, and a couple of t-shirts here for the extra large variety. And let's see, what else do I have here? Yeah, that's about it. Ooh. Zoo pad. Now, you better get to the zoo quickly. Well, these are good until January 5th, and that's, you know, that's next week. Okay. Yeah. January 5th of 2020. And I've got enough zoo tickets here to supply everyone if you got the right answer. And then I also have that $5 a Caesar's pizza. Yeah, right. $5 worth of pizza. That is one pizza, isn't it? Okay. So we haven't had many winners lately. Maybe today is the day. I found out yesterday and the day before that very little is known by our audience here about Ohio or about sports in Ohio. Yesterday I had all these different sports questions, and I think I only had one answer to one degree or one category of Ohio sports. You know, Ohio has been very, very prominent in baseball and, of course, football. Oh, my. And now prominent in, what's the name of that, where they kick the ball with their side of the foot? They're building a new stadium in Columbus for that. And the old stadium will be used by other soccer players. So, yeah, Columbus is the town of sports. And the Columbus Blue Jackets. Oh, yes. Boy, you remember last year or last season when crowds gathered to hope that the Blue Jackets were going to take the Stanley Cup? Boy, that was something. But they didn't take it. Now, will Ohio State capture the same prize that Earl Bruce did 4 years in a row? Yes, for 4 years, Earl Bruce's team, football team, got the championship trophy out of that game. We'll see what happens. That's tomorrow, isn't it? Yeah, the game is tomorrow. Okay. Out in the warm area, country. I talked to my grandson last night out in California. He had Travis Air Force Base. And he said it was 50 degrees out there. I said, it's 50 degrees here in Marion, Ohio. He couldn't get over that because it's wintertime here. But, you know, all these are short-lived. We'll go from our warmer temperatures to the colder temperatures. But this break is so nice. Wow. I feel like going out and mowing the yard. Yeah, sure. A couple of times. All right. Now, how are you all doing? Any of you, that's right. Have you been downtown? Did you pass the deconstruction of Comer's Smoke Shop area and Schulte's Cigar Store? My, they're ripping that all to pieces. And soon, there will be just a wall to the south exposed. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how that develops, because right now it's a skeleton. But will they take down everything except the south wall, and will they recondition that wall and use it for the backdrop for the food store? Yeah. Do you know the answer to that? If anyone, especially from the Center Street Health Department, if they would like to call and talk explicitly or whatever about that construction, I'd like to hear it. It'd be interesting. You see, we never get the word in all together in Marion about what's going on. For instance, Dunkin', the new donut place, they're scraping that all up, and they've got rid of all the inner workings of what was there as a house, and now they've got a preparatory plans in place for the slab or whatever they're going to use to house the new Dunkin'. You see, it used to be Dunkin' Donuts, now it's Dunkin'. All right. It's interesting. My background back a couple of hundred years ago was my family were Dunkard Christians. Dunkards, yeah. And that meant a Dunkard, way back then, was a group that punished others by not being totally religious, and they would put him in a chair and strap him in it and dunk him in the river. Can you imagine nowadays that happening? Putting somebody you didn't like in a strap him down in a chair and take him over the Scioto River and dunk him a few times? Yeah, completely under the water. The Dunkard Dutch, they were called. Does anyone know any other history of the Dunkard Dutch people? Boy, they were kind of nasty, really. And, of course, we think things are bad at times here, but, hey, that's nothing compared to years ago and what was going on, religious conquest, of different people and the killings and, oh, my goodness. Well, anyhow, I've talked long enough here. I ought to ask a question and try to give away a prize. There was a man once known that he did such tremendous work among millions of people, workers, and he produced a product that is no longer being produced in some of the facilities that he owned and in an area called the Rust Belt. But this man had captured all that business. And he was from Pittsburgh. And he established museums. I once, now get this, in one of my first ventures of being out, this was in Pittsburgh, of selling the Marion location for tourists. In other words, I tried to get people to come to Marion by bus and get them booked into Marion. Well, and I was just one of the groups. We had people from Mansfield, Columbus, Toledo, and all around. And we all gathered for a free lunch in one of this man's museums. And I ate a hot beef sandwich underneath a mastodon. Oh, no, it wasn't mastodon. It was a dinosaur of some kind. Yeah, real, and it was a real one. Just the bones, of course. But I'll never forget that. And every time I see that museum on television on a special of some kind, I say, hey, I ate underneath that dinosaur. But that's what they did to promote a lot, that, like the Pittsburgh area. And they hosted a big gathering of convention and visitor bureaus all across the country. And of course, their job was mainly to promote Pittsburgh. So what did we do in Pittsburgh? Let me tell you. You know what sushi is, don't you? Well, let me tell you. That was the first time in my life in Pittsburgh that I ever ate sushi. And they had a lot of it. And next to those sushi, they had little strips of ginger. So I said, mister, I love the sushi, though, first time I ever ate it. But why do you have that that other thing next to the sushi? And he said, that's to rinse your mouth out. Ginger. It took the taste and the smell out of your mouth so that you were acceptable to other people. And then they also took us on a boat ride in Pittsburgh. And this, now get this, this is all to sell the city of Pittsburgh for tourism. But at the same time, we were selling Marion for tourism. We were going around all the bus people and showing them what's in Marion. Okay, 10:26 is the time. And so we went on this boat. And on the boat was this costumed guy from the Pittsburgh football team. And we floated down Three Rivers, and it was really interesting, right beside Three Rivers Stadium. We were on this ferry boat, and they had an orchestra playing. Oh, my goodness. Big time. And then we were escorted over to the hillside there along the river and got aboard this downward thing that takes people from one part of Pittsburgh to another. Down a hillside. Right. It was really interesting. And normally, you would go up on something. But this, well, I guess you'd go up on this too. But it was the first time in my life I ever rode such a an outfit. And it's been running there. Maybe some of you have rode that. Been doing that for many, many years. How about anyone listening familiar with Pittsburgh? I never will forget, too. I drove there from Marion, and I used a municipal parking garage. And I had to leave my car there for several days. And when I got my car, I found the concrete of the building of the parking garage had been wet and rain-washed some of the cement onto my car. And permanently stained my car. 10:28's the time. How about you? Okay, now what was the man's name that did all this putting together all these attractions in Pittsburgh, especially the man that employed thousands of people. He controlled a particular industry. What was his name? Okay, 1029 is the time. Do any of you know the man's name that controlled the steel industry many years ago? It'd be like, you know, like in Marion, Nucor Steel. But there's not one particular man that operates that. That's a, you know, a group, a board, so forth. 1029, boy, we're getting close to break time here. All right, and it should be 10:30 right now. Let's see, my clock says 10:30. The clock on the desk here says 10:29. And the phone says, answer me. Yes, phone or caller, go ahead.
Yeah, how are you, Dolly?
Yes.
Are you talking about Carnegie?
Yes, Dale Carnegie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you heard my interviews with Phyllis Diller here on WWGH?
Have I heard it? I could recite it word for word.
Wow, Charlie, you must have a great memory.
Well, not really, but after 6,432 airings, it just becomes a part of your life. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes out, and you hear Phyllis Diller's interview and cackle on WWGH.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again, and incidentally, I wanted to mention, too, it's not on Facebook, so I'm not going to tell anything out of school. On Facebook, the story about Dave Akin is on there. Dave was taken to Riverside Hospital in Columbus by ambulance a couple of days ago, and he's been analyzed as having liver cancer. But he is coming home for, I don't know for how long, but yes, Dave Akin, and this might be the first time some of you have heard about this, unless you read it on Facebook, which I did, and a couple of people called me. I've been a friend of Dave Akin's for more years than you can remember. I remember when Dave first started his television. He had a house trailer-like that he operated out of. He had cameras that were given to him, used cameras from other TV stations. And Dave somehow managed to put all this together and keep going until now he has four television stations altogether. Columbus, Marion, Delaware, Kenton, and Ashland. And so Dave is worried that, you know, he wants all this taken care of. Of course, his son Jonathan is doing a mighty fine job. But it's got Dave worried sick. So keep him in mind, Dave Akin with liver cancer. Let's hope that he survives that. Dave has been a good friend of mine, like I say, for more years than I can remember. And he's a ham radio operator, too, besides everything else. But I can remember when Dave had this little Yugo. The Yugo was a Yugoslavia version of a Fiat. And Dave drove this. And I remember him getting stuck in a field one time. He had to have some people pull him out. Oh, my. Yeah, Dave's had, and Dave's dad, of course, was an extra good friend of mine. And I used to, when I was an engineer at the radio station, I used to talk to his dad quite a bit because we were in the process of putting up an antenna on top of a brand new tower. The antenna was 67 feet in length, and I was inside it. It was cylindrical, and I had the job of putting the harness together inside this big tube. And I can remember Dave's dad standing out in the parking lot watching me do this. And I was small enough then I could crawl inside. The only thing is there were a lot of screws that came through to hold it was called wind vanes. The wind vanes were to break up the airflow around what it was a pylon and would break up the airflow so it wouldn't start shaking up on top of the tower. Boy, those were the days. Back, that was 1953. How long ago was that? Quite a while, you say. 10:34 is the time. Okay, Dale Carnegie was the guy that controlled the steel industry. Dale Carnegie. Okay, let me see. There's an interesting town up in Canada. Every now and then you hear about it, but mainly when it has its cold temperatures. It's a little town called Yellowknife. Now, how it got its name, I'd like to find out. Yellowknife is the name of the town, and it's in the middle of nowhere. That nowhere is what province of Canada? Where is the province in Canada where you will find the little tiny town of Yellowknife? And I do not know much about Yellowknife, except it gets mighty cold there in the wintertime. I know more about the North Pole of Alaska. Yeah, not Canada, but Alaska. North Pole, Alaska. I was there once. And at first, you encounter a gift shop. And that gift shop is outside where they have a sign pointing to every place but Marion on it, and the number of miles. I don't think Marion's on it. And so, quite interesting. But North Pole, Alaska is a town. And it has a fire department. It has, a municipal operation with a council and so forth. North Pole, Alaska. I can say I've been there. I bet some people listening to me have been there, too. If you took a bus tour of Alaska and Canada up that way, you would have been given the privilege of going in the gift shop at North Pole, Alaska. 10:36 is the time. Okay, but where would you find Yellowknife? If you were looking in Canada, where would you find the little tiny town of Yellowknife? Now, you'll hear that name mentioned every now and then, especially in the wintertime when it gets so far below zero that it's not even practical. Yellowknife. Yeah, it's way up there. But what province? We've got all the Ontario, Saskatchewan, and Alberta, and British Columbia, Newfoundland, and all these others. But in what province would you find Yellowknife? And at the most, how did it get its name? Okay, now here. Let me see. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hey, that'd be in the Northwest Territory.
You're exactly right, the Northwest Territory, yeah. You know anything else about the Yellowknife?
It's the capital of the Northwest Territory.
Okay, all right. So it's not too big, but it's bigger than small.
Right, right.
Okay, and would you like a prize today?
Yeah, we'll do a coffee cup.
A coffee cup, you betcha. Okay.
I got enough zoo tickets.
Okay. I've got.
Now you mentioned working with Dave Aiken's dad. I worked with Dave Aiken's dad, old Jesse, out to Eaton for a long time.
Oh, no kidding. He's a good old guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, do you think.
Okay, it's Pat Henry.
Okay, Pat. You can come up here. We'll be here till 1:15. 1:15 today, at least.
Okay.
Okay, Pat. Good to hear from you. Okay, bye. Okay, Pat Henry, our caller. All right. Let me just a second here. Pat Henry. write that down here. Coffee cup. Yeah. So he's got zoo tickets. Okay. Oh, boy. Let me see here. All right. Coffee cup. Today is the 12, is 12, 27. Yeah. All day. Okay. Okay, I'll set aside this one nice big cup here for Pat Henry. All right. I'll write down here the size. Big. And black. Okay. All right. So, we've had that cup around for a little while. Boy, it's just like it's hardly ever been touched. And it's even got a price on it. $8.99. Hey, by golly, the price tag is still on it. $8.99. All right. Yeah, now this, you can, oh, okay, you can flip it up. All right. You heard me there. Okay. All right. Now, what else do I have here I can, Pat said he worked with Dave's dad. Dave's dad, I liked. I mean, he was a good old guy, really. And while they were building the TV station, he was, of course, always there. And that's why he was in our parking lot watching me work inside the antenna for the radio station, because he was always around because they were building Channel 39 at that time. Okay. And, of course, Dave's mother still makes quilts, and she's 97 years old and still makes quilts. Can you imagine? That takes stamina. That takes good health. But Dave's mother certainly has, well, she's in a nursing home or an assisted living home and doing well, apparently. Okay, let me see. Now, let's hope that Dave does all right, too. If he's coming home today, how long will he be able to be here before they have to take him back for treatment in Columbus? And Dave, in the process, if he does have liver cancer, he's going to lose his hair. My. Let me see. Dave's got a full head of hair. Sure. Okay. Now, moving right along here at 10:41 Eastern time. Let me see. I'm trying to think here of what else I can ask. Oh, here's one. I got a carton of six of these for Christmas. They're bottles of orange pop. It's not just a common name of orange pop. This orange pop is named after a weather situation. It's named after a situation in the weather department. Now, what orange pop, what brand would that be? It has to do with something in the weather. So what orange pop am I talking about? And if you know, I'll give you your choice of whatever here. Okay. It's December the 27th already. My goodness. We haven't much time left in the year. Now, this is one of my pet peeves. During the year, we've heard daily reports of this news item and that news item and this and on and on and on. A lot of the TV stations on the national news will run a story for three times. And and I get so tired of hearing what happened in the year, like the year 2019. Why just can't we go on and more or less forget about what happened and try to do better this coming year? But that's the way it is. You'll see it in the paper day by day or month by month, and you'll see it on television and on the internet of the year in review of 2019. Oh, and for a lot of us, you wouldn't want to review the, especially the part where, maybe where you were sick. I don't want to review the time I was in the hospital, that's for sure. or I don't want to review the time I was in an assisted living, or, well, they call them two, not assisted living, is a little bit above a nursing home, right? And so I've had to recuperate after being in the hospital. I still don't know exactly what was wrong with me, but I think it was mainly pneumonia. But I've had my, got my new pneumonia shot, my pneumovax. I've had my flu shot, and I'll never again neglect getting a flu shot. I have for all these years, and have had the flu only once that I know of for sure, but I'm not taking that chance this year, not with the fragile health that people have. So I had my flu shot, and it, I didn't even know it. The gal put a piece of tape on, and I said, what are you doing? Well, I'm taping over where I just gave you a shot.
Scott, you know there have always been rumors that Florence Harding murdered President Harding.
Yes, I have heard that.
Well, it's a bunch of bunk. I'm here to state without doubt Florence Harding did not murder President Harding. Now, Nan Britton. Jury's out.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again, and the time is 10:45 and a half. And our next question. There are two products that used to be produced in the east end of Marion. One was cattle feed or horse feed, whatever kind of feed you wanted. It came in a big bag with a particular name on it. And then there was another product, and you would never believe unless I told you, it was a product where they took the oil out of sun, soybeans. Yeah, they extracted the oil out of soybeans. Now here's what most of you would, unless you worked there, wouldn't have known. Now they don't do it anymore, but they extracted the oil from a soybean. And that was put in tank trucks and taken to Columbus, Ohio, and it went into a particular product made in Columbus. And I'll ask you, what was the name of that product that was produced in Columbus from soybean oil from Marion? Or, if you can answer the, what is the brand name of the feed for animals that was produced in the soybean complex where they took in corn and soybeans, and it was all ground and, you know, processed and everything, different ingredients added, and put in paper bags that had a name on them. I think they were mostly paper. There might have been a cloth bag. I don't know. But what was the name of the cattle feed produced at Central Soya, or where did the oil end up in what particular product out of Columbus? Now, I bet not all of it went to Columbus, but most of it maybe. What was the product produced out of soybean oil from Marion, and the product was produced in Columbus? I got you stumped, don't I? Yeah. Well, that's not hard to do, it seems like. So name the cattle feed, or name the product made in Columbus out of soybean oil from Marion, which they, I don't think they do now, maybe, unless they get their oil from somewhere else. Now, where we live in Clarendon, corn trucks loaded with corn, bought passed by our house, over a dozen a day on their way to Poet. And really something, one after another, it seems like. Okay, no, here's a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Was the feed called Master Mix?
Yes, it sure was called Master Mix.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I used to work at the grain grading site, which is right there on Central Soya Grounds.
Right.
Where it used to be Central Soya, and it was called Columbus Grain Inspection. I worked for them back when I was 16, back in 1977.
Oh, that's interesting.
And,
yeah.
But that was connected. We graded the grain coming into the Central Soya there, but I owned Master Mix stuck in my mind.
Yeah, Master Mix is correct. Now, that's interesting to know that Central Soya hired your company to do their grading of the products brought in by truck.
That's correct. That was out of Columbus. Well, it was called Columbus Grain Inspection.
Wow.
And they, from Marion, I traveled to some of the smaller little sites like Prospect, different little towns that
sure.
would have certain grain cars there, train cars, and I would have a huge sampler that you'd push way down into that grain and take samples out and put them in canvas bags and bring back to be graded.
Did you ever?
It was pretty interesting job for a 16-year-old.
Yeah, yes, and I heard, too, that sometimes farmers would put some of the dirtier stuff in.
Oh, yeah, yes. I'm not going to name names, but I knew several that would bring dirty, rotten grain in the bottom of their truck sometimes
yes.
to try to pass by. But we had certain ones we'd watch for, you know, because, yeah, you couldn't put that rotten stuff in with good grain, no.
Yeah, some of the guys thought they were fooling you, but they knew who was.
That's right. And then they'd be mad at me for taking the sample out of their truck. It wasn't my fault.
Hey,
I didn't put the grain in your truck, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, that's good to hear. Yeah, it's almost like one time I was up in Toledo at the big grain company up there. I saw them loading a ship, and coming out of the spout was all this smoke. No, yeah, it wasn't smoke. It was dust. And I said, hey, you're loading that boat with a bunch of dirt. And he said, yeah, we're allowed so much.
Oh, wow. Isn't that so?
Yeah, that is. So China was getting some dirt as well as soybeans.
Oh, yeah. Well.
That's interesting. Hey,
would think they would figure that out eventually.
Yeah, right. What would you like for a prize today?
I'm not sure what you have, Charlie. I just came out from getting an MRI at Marion General and put the radio on and heard the question. What do you have?
Well, I've got, and speaking of MRIs, I've been there twice for those.
I go by the hospital, yeah.
Yeah, breathe deep. Okay, release.
Yeah, that was terrible. How are you supposed to hold your breath that long?
Oh, my. Yeah, and the noise that thing makes.
Yeah. Right. I guess if you pass out, you won't have to worry about holding your breath. You'll have to get you out of it.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Now, when you have a CAT scan, it's just in and out. But an MRI.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly.
Hey,
CAT scan is much better.
Let me tell you a story, too. The last MRI I had in Mount Gilead, and they said, okay, we're ready for your MRI. And they led me outside. I thought, no, I'm here for an MRI. I'm not out to take a walk. Well, they said, yes, just stand here on that yellow dot. And I did, and the elevator raised me up into a semi-truck where the MRI was located.
Oh, I'd have to question that outfit a little bit, Charlie.
Yeah, but boy, it took took longer than the other, but they could not afford their own at the Morrow County Hospital. They couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
So they had to use a truck. And
isn't that something? That's interesting, though.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that they do have that for certain people that live in counties, you know.
Well, yes, that's right. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
now I've got a $5 a pizza from Caesar's Pizza.
That'd be wonderful.
Oh, okay. Now, what is your name?
Little Caesars. Tom Fout, F-O-U-T.
Okay. Tom, All right. Well, good luck with your MRI.
Yeah, thank you, Charlie.
Yeah, okay. Mine come out pretty good. Oh, and it showed that, I went in for a hearing test, and they said, well, we better have an MRI of your brain. So,
oh, wow.
And it was about 6 weeks later, they called up and said, well, now you have an appointment with the audiologist or whatever. Oh, yeah. I said, well, hey, I had that MRI. What'd you find? Nothing.
Well, I guess that's certainly a case of no news is good news.
Yeah, that's
for
right.
You on that.
And if anything, they found I was hard of hearing.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that something?
Oh, yeah. Well, Tom, if you want to come up yet before 1 o'clock today.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Charlie.
Okay.
Take care.
See you. Okay.
Bye.
Hey, that was an interesting call. Okay, let me write this down here. Caesar's Pizza. Okay, Tom Fowd. Okay, today's the 27th. All right. Yeah. Have you ever had an MRI, folks? They say, now breathe deep and hold it, and you breathe. And in my case, I can't hear very well out of one ear, so I'm holding my breath, and finally the machine says, okay, you can breathe. Oh, my. Well, anyhow, it's 10:55 already. We're almost through this hour. But that's interesting. Centro Soya actually hired a special company out of Columbus to do their grain testing. In other words, when one of those long trucks pulled in to the scales, why, then this operator, and he was only 16, he said, at the time, he would run this hollow probe into the grain, and it would go all the way down to the bed of the truck. And then they'd suck that up the tube and put it in a bag, and that had to be, measured and so forth. But that's interesting, and I've often heard of guys trying to do a little extra dirt in certain areas. And he said, well, we knew all about that. Oh, my. That's pretty good. But I don't know, what do they still do at Centro Soya? Do they still take in grain, corn, or beans? I'm sure they do. That big building is built to house over 1 million bushels of soybeans. Wow. I've been on top of Centro Soya, too. I went up on a man lift. Now, they call it, and I don't know what they would call it if a lady got on board. But the man lift, you step on a step, and bzzz, up you go to the top. And once you get to the top, your head hits a off switch. And then it shuts down. Otherwise, you would go up, and then you'd head first to the basement. Thank goodness for that bar that your head hit to shut off the man lift. But boy, can you see a long way from the top of one of those grain silos. Wow. Ah, yes, those were the days. I had an interesting time working in the agricultural field, probably one of the best times I've ever had, because I could get my get more in depth to it. For in various categories. Oh, there was so much to learn. Like, hogs are being bred today without as much fat on them, and as a result, they get kind of cold out in the cold air. Of course, they're kept in buildings now. Oh, boy, just so-so. Yeah. But oh, and incidentally, I've got a thing in front of me. Marion Airfoils welcomes you to fly with us. Did you hear on the news today there are some special provisions now for people who own drones? You'd have to catch it on the news. So at the Coliseum in Marion, December the 29th, today's the 27th, so on Sunday afternoon, December the 29th, from 5 till 8 p.m., they'll be flying drones and radio-controlled airplanes. And the cost for using the Coliseum is the same as last year, they say, $15 per date per person. If they say if we have enough people flying the coast, costs could go down. Okay, that's the Marion Airfoils. President Kevin Evanosky, Vice President Greg Briley, Secretary Treasurer Mike Ravilla, and Club Safety Officer James McCormick. All right. Kevin Evanosky. Kevin is quite a flyer. Man, he's got technology galore. Okay. There we are. Let's see what else. It's too late to start another question here before the news, so I might tell you right now it's 10:59, almost 11 o'clock. Well, it's 11 o'clock on my watch, and our computer clock is 10:59 and a half.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Good morning, we're on the air.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott! Oh, wow! Okay, we've been wanting to hear from you, Scott.
Well, I tell you, this morning I did something different. Yesterday we were outside with the protesters, so today I made sure we got here a little earlier.
Uh-huh.
Got through the checkpoints, and I am actually calling you from Cleveland, Ohio. Republican National Convention inside. I am sitting right now inside the Quicken Loans Arena looking at the Oregon delegation from the rafters.
No